since there's a Gemara, I forgot where the Gemara is, so you'll have to. The Gemara asks the Kasha, Hamim in Atara Minayin, right? Whereas, where is there a remez to Hamim in the Torah? So the Gemara answers from this last week's Parsha, from Parsha's Bereishis, because it says, Hamina eats, that Hashem asked Haman, did you eat from the tree? Hamina eats, sure, if he see, God built the Achimeno Acholta. Did you eat from the tree? So Hamin obviously spells Haman. So Haman, there's a remez to Haman. Okay, that's the Gemara. The Gemara is very unclear, okay, because it's the same letters as Haman, so why is that a remez to Haman? So this is not what we would call a Chavetz Chaim Muchlok Shmuz, because it's a question and you can give any answer you want. Some people say that because the answer is because it says eitz and Haman was connected with a tree. The tree played a major role in the Haman story. But I heard from a very chashve gada, Rav Dov Yaffa, and I believe he quoted Rav Aaron Cutler, I believe. He said as follows, a beautiful, beautiful pshat. He said as follows. Haman, we know, there's this famous, famous pasuk by Haman, one of the most classical musar psukim in the world. It says that after Haman, the second time he meets Mordechai. Mordechai refuses to bow down. So he makes this decree that Mordechai and all the Jews will be killed. And then what happens? So he meets Haman at Mordechai again. And Mordechai doesn't bow down to him. So Haman, what's Haman's reaction? He comes home and he tells his wife, Vayisapradam Haman es Kvod Ashro. He tells his wife about how rich he is. Or his wife, he's the richest man in the world. V'roi Banav, he had a whole bunch of kids. Veskosha Gidda Melech. And he's the most prime minister. Right? Shernos Al Sarim V'Avad Avdemelech. And he's invited to the party with Esther. And then there's a famous pasuk. V'kolze. And all this. Einanu Shaveli. It's not worth anything to me. Right? That sounds crazy. The guy is the richest guy in the world. He's the most powerful person in the world. He has the most family in the world. Right? Achashverosh ruled the whole world, and Achashverosh was a drunken king, and he let Haman run the show. Right? So he's everything. And what they, and there's one Jew, everyone else is bowing down to him. There's one idiotic Jew that won't bow down, and you're going to get him killed in a month from now. Eino shaveli. I can't live. Not worth anything. Life is worthless. I'm ready to commit suicide almost, right? So, Haman ben Atara Minayin, where did we ever see such a crazy thing? The guy has everything in the world except for one little thing, and he's depressed. Tyrants is Haminaids. Of the Mauritians in Gan Eden. Do you know how good it was to be in Gan Eden? He had every single food in the world. He had, Medrash says that the Malachim were the cooks and the waiters. How long was he in Gan Eden before he ate from the Eitz Hadas? Anyone know? Less than a day, a few hours. You think he ate every single food? No, he was bored already. He has steak and chowent and kugels and I don't know, and sushi, right? So, but there's one food. He has a million foods to eat. And he's just there a few hours. And there's one food that he can't eat, according to Chazal and Esrik, which doesn't even taste good, right? And I'm a sugar. I have to eat the Esrik. Right? And that's, they say, the Orach Chaim says that the Nochish told Adam, told when the Nochish starts speaking to Adam, the Nochish says, when Nochish speaks to Chava, V'atom v'hemar isha af ki amar akim lo tochlu miko eitz agad. that she says, tells Chava, Hashem said, don't eat from any of the food of the trees in the Gan Eden. The Kasha's not true. Hashem only said, don't eat from one tree. So Rashi says, I assume those you know Rashi, that he just wanted to start a conversation. So that's a typical con artist. You play dumb. So he was playing dumb. He was making a dumb statement where the Chava, go, you're such a foolish nachash, you don't know. And then he got, meanwhile, was able to start talking. But the Arachayim says that he wasn't saying that. He was saying a gewaltig thing. He says, Hashem says you can't eat from anything. It's not true. You can eat from everything except from Eitz HaDas. If you don't have Eitz HaDas, you got nothing. Because if you're missing the main pleasure in life, then everything else is worthless. Big deal, you got malachim cooking for you. Big deal, you got steaks and you know, whatever else. You don't have the Eitz HaDas, you're a failure. You're a pauper. You have nothing. Right? That's what the Hashem said, you can't eat from anything. Okay. Anyway, so the shmooze is, this topic is, here you have people, two people, Haman and Adon Rishon, who whether the shmooze, whether the Hashem, the Chazal is right or not, I can't say, but either way, the point is correct. You have two individuals who were had basically everything in life. And yet, they were walking around, so to speak, depressed, feeling they got nothing. So, Kal v'chomer, seemingly a Kal v'chomer, I'm not sure it's a Kal v'chomer, but Pasha's a Kal v'chomer. Regular people who don't have everything in life, surely are walking around not necessarily happy, which is definitely true. If you take I once did this for fun. I tell this guy many times that I was about, I don't know, 10 years ago, whatever, I was tapped to substitute in the high school. It was a certain shear, and I made a deal with them because I wanted to have some fun, that I would give them a survey, that they didn't have to write their names, that it was multiple choice, there would be no way of knowing, you know, recognizing their handwriting, but only on the conditions they answered honestly. And that's a very interesting question. Do you believe in God? Did you ever have drugs? You know, whatever, you know, what kind of interesting questions. So one of the questions I had was, are you happy? And there were a few choices. Very happy, so-so, blah, you know, neutral, a little on the depressed side and very depressed. You know, I think that's what the answer. I didn't get one really happy answer. No, I got most of them were just so-so, you know. Basically, Rabbi Schaefer's, you know, book about stop surviving, you know, start living. Well, that was basically, yeah, I'm making it through the day, you know. Like every single kid in the class, basically. Maybe there's one or two that were a little bit on the happy side. But no one gave themselves a really good, happy grade. So people in the world, most people, are not really happy. Even the rule is, even if you see a guy who looks very happy, I don't say always, but very often he's not really happy, but pshat is he's just putting on a show because people think if they're not happy, they're a failure. So therefore, and they don't want people to know they're a failure. So very often, they in order to cover up their depression, very often, people that are depressed act happy. Because even happier than people that aren't depressed. Because they're depressed, and that means that they feel a failure. And that it's embarrassing to be a failure. So I have to hide it. So you act happy. But anyway, most people in the world are not so happy. So the shaiva is... Rav Zuckerman told us a mashal. This is not, I don't think he said it was a Jewish mashal, but it's obviously it's an old mashal because he knew it. He said there was a king who was sick, and the doctors told him that the cure is he has to wear a shirt of a happy person. So he calls his prime minister, the most powerful man in the country, says, quick, I need your shirt. He says, why? He says, doctor said I need to put on the shirt of a happy person. Says, a happy person, you know. Not me. I'm not happy. So he says he calls all his cabinet. Who, anyone here happy? I need your shirt. No, no, thank you. So he calls all the rich people in the country. Someone, who's happy? I need the shirt. So he sends out messengers throughout the whole country. Is anyone happy? Who's that? Find a happy person. So there's a guy searching the whole country. Finally, he comes to a person. He meets a shepherd, top of some mountain. He says, are you happy? I'm looking for a happy person. He says, yes, I'm happy. He says, great, give me your shirt. Shirt? I don't own a shirt. That was the mashal. Okay. Anyway, so the point is that most people in life are not really happy. And it's a terrible tragedy. It's a tragedy because Tom is chaval not to be happy. And it's a tragedy even for success, because when a person is happy, you are energized. Happiness gives you energy. A person who's happy can accomplish, driven. He's adrenaline. You know, it's one of the pleas in life, how the Gra managed to live an hour and a half of sleep a day. What? Less than 2 hours. Less than 2 hours, right? So an hour and a half. I don't know how it's humanly possible. But I obviously the Gra was Mishunadik. But I assumed a large part of it was because he was happy. When you're happy, so you get energized. Right? That's what we quoted once as a sefer. He says that there was a certain tzaddik who used to do a tremendous amount of precious. And you would think it did precious, he would be walking around, you know, weak. You know, he barely ate, he barely slept, and yet he was full of energy. So someone asked him, how is it that you're so energized? So he says, because every morning I make a bracha, shelo asani goy, and I get so excited that my adrenaline goes. You know, I'm the happiest guy in the world. So, you know, that energizes me. It's in the sefer. What's the name of the sefer? Oh, I forgot my names. I forgot. I'm sorry. Anyway, so the question is, how do we become happy? This is a very, very important question. So there's two or three basic yesaidis. The first yesaid, you have to know, there's a yesaid gadol. This is the first yesaid of happiness. It's the beginning of the Mesiras Yesharim in the first parak. What is the yesaid from the Mesiras Yesharim in the first parak? There is nobody in this world that has everything. Olam Hazeh is not a perfect world. The Simcha Zitzel says that there's nothing in this world that's perfect. Everything in this world comes with a problem. The Chazal, it's a Gemara, it's a Medrash. A rose has to have thorns. You want a rose, you got to get thorns. Right? You want to eat ice cream, you got to get cholesterol. You want cake, you got to get calories. You know, you want to eat healthy, you get food that don't taste good. There's nothing, that's just the way it is. Right? You want marbe nechasim, marbe daiga. Right? Everything in life has a problem with it. Anything that's good has some negative. That's Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh was created at Bedavka. That's Hashem created Olam Hazeh. There is nothing in Olam Hazeh that is perfect. That's what the Mesiras Yesharim, that he's one of his proofs that there's an Olam Haba, is because if you believe Hashem created the world, and Hashem obviously is this brilliant, brilliant, all-powerful God, why in the world did he do such a crummy job if this world is the purpose? Because he says no one's happy in this world. Right? That's what he says. Right? Where is this thing here? It says, Yuchal Shum Bal Sechol La'amin. No one with a brain in his head can believe that a person was created for this world. Ki mo'em chayam azeh. Because what is this world? Mi hu shesameach b'shodei ma'ashem azeh. Who's really happy in this world? Yimei shenosem shimen shanayim. You know, then first of all, once you finally make it, then you're ready to die. Okay. One out of 1,000, you won't find. Right? In other words, the guy, you don't find you one out of 1,000 that really has pleasure. Okay, so the first rule is that you're complaining about life. Well, I have a problem. Welcome to the club. I remember when I was first, when I was in yeshiva once, I was complaining to about something. I didn't usually complain, but I was complaining something to David Shay, to David Shay. I don't think he remembers it. So I was complaining to him about something that the yeshiva did, and it was bothering me. It was causing me a lot of aggravation. And you know what he told me? Yeah, life is tough. Just what I wanted to hear. I wanted to punch him in the nose, you know? Thanks a lot. But that's the truth. Life is tough, okay? You got a problem. Welcome to the club, you know? You know, that's it. You know, everybody in life has problems. So the first you say, if not being depressed, is the realization that your expectation might be unrealistic. You expect everything to be perfect. There's no such possibility. It doesn't exist. You're striving for a mirage. It doesn't exist. So of course, you're not going to be happy, because you know, if you imagine that life is going to be perfect, you know, and you read all your fairy tales, so then of course you're not happy, because you didn't make it for me. If you realize that the life isn't perfect, okay, but that's still not enough, because yeah, life isn't perfect, but it's, you know, but this, the other guy got it, you know, he is, no one has it perfect. But he has it better than me, so I'm still not happy, right? I got a bad part, right? So it's definitely, you know, there's here's the problem. So the first, if you think life could be perfect, then you're guaranteed not to be happy, because never going to be perfect. But even if you hear life isn't perfect, it still doesn't ensure make a person happy, because person can feel, yeah, but my problem is bigger than everybody else's problem. So there are two different answers I heard to this question. I heard one from the Shashiva, she used to always say, and one that I heard from the person, he wrote a sefer called Dark Edio. Obviously, they're both good. I happen to, you know, answers, there's no one real answer to the question. Depends on the personality. I happen to like the Dark AO's answer. I think it's just for my personality. It works a little better. But okay. Obviously, if you have bitachon, there's no problem. But, you know, we're not really, you know, because bitachon says Hashem gives you what's best for you. So, but we're not on but that's a very hard answer, because you have to be about madrega to have such bitachon. We get upset when we lose 25 cents in the candy machine, you know. Rishiva used to say like this, this is a very good answer, that he used to say over all the time a Hasidish story, which, you know, one of these, I don't know, it's a story. Obviously, it did not really happen. That everybody was gathered together, the Malach came and told everyone to gather together and pack their pekalach. You know what a pekalach are? What? They're packed, which means their problems. You know, pack up their problems on their stick, you know, wrap it up in a stick. Take all your problems and pack them up in a suitcase. Okay. And then, and everyone gather in the town square. The whole table, all the city, people in the city gather together, each one carrying their problems on their back, you know, stick with their problems wrapped up. The Malach tells everyone, okay, everyone, give away your problem. Put it down in the middle of the square. Everyone takes their stick with their pekalach, and they pick up a nail. And then the Malach says, okay, but you got to have one problem. Everyone has to have one. So everyone gets now to pick. You can pick a problem. You can pick a pekalach. You know. Okay, Yango, you go first. You go pick. He starts opening up all the packages. I don't want that one. He said, which one does he take? His own. And everyone takes his own problem. That's what she used to say. In other words, your own problem, granted it's a problem, but it's tailor-made for you. Now, I don't know if he meant aus bitachin. I think he meant aus, even without bitachin. The maisa, you learn to deal with it. Well, the other guy's problem you can't handle. So this is the right problem for you. You know, at the Bashir Usham, where you're right now, this is the best situation that you could be in right now. Because you, whatever problem you have, you know how to, you have coping skills. You know how to deal with it. You know how to, you know, you're used to it. But if you would trade in your problem for someone else's problem, you'd be in big trouble. So you should be happy because right now, Bashir Husham, you're in the best situation that you could be. That was Rashiva's. You know, obviously, if you had bitachin, it's even better. But I think he said he went out bitachin. Okay. Rav, his name was the Rav Yosef. Rav Yehuda Kohn. I get mixed up. Rav Yehuda Kohn, that was a dark idiot, said a different answer. He told me once, he says he can help solve many marriage problems. He says a guy comes to him and he complains about his wife. You know, my wife, I see this other guy's wife, she's a better cook, she's a better this, she's a better, you know, more fun, more sociable, more talented, whatever it is, right? He's not happy with his wife. So he says, yeah. Let me ask you, on a scale of 1 to 10 or 1 to 100, you know, if you would, you know, you have 100 women, how would you rank your wife? You know, on the scale of 1 to 100, where do you think she would rank? So he says, usually the guy says, 60, 70, you know. 60! Congratulations! You've won the jackpot! 60! You know what you were supposed to get? What were you supposed to get? The odds were you were going to get a 50. Right? It's true when you think about it. What makes you think that you were going to get 100? What are the odds that you're going to get the best woman and wife and every the best? The odds are, you don't know what you're doing, you're going out, right? You don't know. The odds are you would have gotten a 50 or, you know, around that range, you know. You got a 60. Wow, you're really lucky. You struck it rich. A 70. Ooh, ooh, wow. Which means he's basically saying that, listen, you don't have to be the richest guy in the world. You know, there's where Shiva's svara was that you are the richest guy in the world. You have your problems is the best. You're in the best situation you could be. Okay. His answer was, you might not be in the best situation you could be, but you're in a pretty good situation because comparative to what's going on in the world, you could have done much, much worse. Okay, you could be a drop batter. Okay, you could have been as rich as you know, who was the rich guy? Okay. What?
Bill Gates.
Bill Gates. So you're not Bill Gates, but you're not a pauper. You're the 10th richest guy in the world. You're in the top 10 percentile. That's pretty good. So you're upset that you're not the top 5 percentile. Like, what, are you crazy? Like, be happy. How many people get to be in the top 10 percentile? So his point was that, generally speaking, obviously this only works for people that are in the top 60%. But he said, generally speaking, people in yeshiva, especially they made it to this point of their lives, they're in the top, you know, they didn't flunk out of elementary school, they didn't flunk out of high school, they're doing well, they're behaving properly, they're you know, then you guys know they're basically doing what you're supposed to be doing. Your life is following a good, you're on a good path. Your life is good for you. You know, you're healthy, you're functioning. Yeah, person has good family. You know, you're brought up in a decent family. Okay, there you know, if only my father would be a little nicer, my mother would be a little more understanding. If I had a little more money, you know. Okay, so it's not perfect, but you're basically ahead of the game. So that's what this, there was. I like that very much. A realization, put it in their perspective. Okay, so you got a 60. 60 is also, you should be jumping for joy. Why do you think that you should have gotten a better? You know, a 60, a 70, maybe even got an 80. Okay, so that's pretty good. You're a lucky person. You know. You could have had more. So Shiva's answer, no, you couldn't have had more, because you don't realize that everyone has to have a problem, and your problem is perfect for you. So he was like, yeah, you could have had more, but what are the odds of being you? You're upset that you don't have it perfect. That's ridiculous. You know, you should have put it in perspective. You're a very lucky person. So that when a person hears that I'm a lucky person, Baruch Hashem. You know, life could be, and this is even without bitachon. This is just common, you know. This is my way. The way he said it, Rav, you don't need bitachon. You're just realistically looking at life and realizing, you go ahead and start counting your, I got complaints. But, okay, you know, I have complaints, and I have valid complaints, and things could be better. But they could also be much worse, you know. Could be much worse. Could be better. Could be much worse. So, you know, basically, you have to be able to deal with the totality. In the totality, you're ahead of the game. Right? And you don't look at the, you don't focus in on the one problem. Right? If a guy's a salesman, you don't look at the one time the guy slams the door in your face. You look at the totality, the total day. I did pretty good. I sold, you know, a certain nice number of life insurances today. 10 people slammed the door in my face. Yeah, that's to be expected. But it was a good day. It was a good day because I was able to, you know, accomplish, you know, my quota. So if you look at life in totality, so I'm in a pretty good situation. I have this, I have that, I have health, I have happiness, I have good friends, I'm learning, I'm going in a good way. Okay, I got a lot of good things going for me. It's not perfect, okay. Life is not to be expected to be perfect. So when you go with that attitude, you can be very happy.
According to what Shiva's way, isn't that like based on bitachon, that you have bitachon that Hashem made you, Hashem created the world, Hashem made you in the way that's specifically your problem? Isn't that very bitachon based?
Yes, but it doesn't have to, because I said everything, even without bitachon, it's because even if, let's say you leave bitachon out. If you have bitachon, yes, the Shiva's way works perfect. But even if you leave out bitachon, you're how old are you? I don't know how old you are. 19. An old man, right? So you're 19 years old. So you have had certain problems. Now, whatever problems you've had them since basically you were born. You know, whether your problems is your parents, you were born with your parents. Your problems is certain parts of your personality, you were born with that too, right? So whatever problem you have, I don't know, you know, maybe you have no problem, but whatever it is, so you had 19 years of getting used to it. So you've become accustomed. You figured you have learned coping skills, how to deal with those problems, so that they don't bother you so much, right? You go ahead and now if you get a you get a new situation where someone would take away the problems that you've had for the last 19 years. And give you a new one, you'd go crazy. Because for the problems that I had for the last 19 years, I've learned how to deal with it. The new problem, that I'm going to trade my old problem in for a new problem, I didn't learn how to deal with it yet. So I'd be much happier just to stay with my problem that I have now because I know how to deal with it. So in, as I said, Bashir Husham, as I said, but where you are now, the problems that you have are the best problems for you. Not in, it's not in, because we're talking, we say that they were always the best problem for you, even when you were five. But let's say when you were five, you weren't the best problem for you. But now, you're much luckier with these problems than with someone else's problems. So why are you unhappy? As you're standing now, you're in the best situation you could possibly be in as of now.
You can't
have no problems. You have to have some problems. Because there's no such thing in life as no problem, right?
But it
wasn't the Taina. No, we said first step was everybody has to have a problem. So that was given. Everyone has to have a problem. There's no such thing. Marbe Nechosim is Marbe Daiga, right? So everything has a problem. Marbe Noshim, Marbe Kshafim. Every great thing comes with a problem. So you gotta have a problem. Anima, you don't like your problem, you wanna trade it in. But let me trade it. Why do I got this problem? Let me get a different problem. So Shiva said, why would you want to trade in your problem for? Your problem is your problem as it is now. This is the best problem for you. You're comfortable with this problem. You know how to deal with it. You've learned how to handle the problem. So this problem doesn't bother you so much. You learn skills how to compensate so that this problem shouldn't affect you so much. Well, if you had a new problem, so why would you want to trade it in for a different problem? Someone's going to offer you $1 million. Don't trade, take $1 million. You know, so to speak. I'm not saying so to speak. But, you know, there's, if you're running a certain type of life and they're going to change places with me, you know, some kind of, fairy tale with the prince and the pauper, right? To change places with me. Why would you? You don't want to change places with him because you've already learned you're the pauper. You've learned, you know, the prince has his set of problems and the pauper has his set of problems. And you've learned for 20 years how to deal with the problems of a pauper. Now you're gonna become the prince. You have no coping skills with the prince's problems. So you're going to, if overnight you get transformed from the pauper to the prince, you're going to be much more miserable. That's what I'll be talking. I'm not talking about little kids. Little kids are not smart enough to discuss this discussion. But we're talking 19-year-old people, adults, right? So the Rishiva's answer, obviously with bitachin, you know, it works simple. But even without bitachin, it says that with a point that you're at now, why are you dreaming? Oh, if only I was. No. If you were something completely different, yeah, that would be the worst thing for you. You know? If you want, because if you're gonna have a transformation, you know, some magical wand, your fairy godmother, whatever, is gonna come and wave a wand and change you, you're gonna be less happy, not more happy. That's Rav Shiva. This Rav Yehuda Kohn was saying that okay, ain't okay, Nami. It could be if your fairy godmother would come. And she would wave a magical wand. Maybe, yeah, she could make you into the top 1 percentile of happiness. And yeah, you're only in the top 10 percentile of happiness. But being realistic, that's pretty good. You know, if the kid who gets a 90 complains, right? Didn't you always hate that kid that he got a 90 and he complained? You know, I got a 60. What are you complaining when I got a 90? You know, so the. If you know, you shouldn't complain. Okay, you ain't looking at me. You would like to have gotten 100. But 90 is also pretty good. 90 is great. You're doing great. You're on top of the world. So why in the world are you complaining? So the end result is that, you know, the person, you know, you become happy. And if you become happy, then it's not just your your ruchnius is better. Obviously, your davening is better. Your hakaras atoif da'kosh baruch hu is better. But you're more energized, is what I was saying. You can function better. Your head works better. It becomes a whole vicious cycle. Very often, what's fascinating in life, and I'm not sure if this is true, but I think it might be true, is that very often people that came from hard backgrounds, if they succeed, they're very often the happier people. Right? I think that's true. I can't promise you, but that's, in other words, people that were brought up, that they were given everything when they were little, the parents gave them everything, so then, you know, when you're little, you can get everything, because, you know, what's your big needs? You want an ice cream, a lollipop, okay, here's a lollipop. So now when they get older and their parents can't give them everything, because you can't get everything, so then they're not used to not getting everything they want, so then they don't know how to deal with their frustrations. People that when they were already younger did not get everything they want, so they learned a little bit of this coping skill and this understanding that you can't have everything, then they're much more happier. There was a guy in Israel, I don't want to go off on a topic, there was a person in Israel I met, his name was a Rabbi Becker. He used to learn, he was from Chavetz Chaim, he was actually a Rebbe in Milwaukee for a few years, and then he moved in Aliyah around 20, 30 years ago. And he has a practice for people that have taiva-orientated problems. A guy who's, a person who's mizaneh with an ashesish, but problems. So he told me that his basic practice, he learns with the guys one piece in the Chiddush HaLev. There's a piece in the Chiddush HaLev on Saita that says, ish, ish, ki tishta ishto, something like that. Anyway, Balkoire, the Chazal say that we tell the guy, that person who's mezana, we tell him, be an ish. Ish means be normal. So Shiva said, basically, here, Tabra b'nei Yisrael v'martayim, ish, ish, ki tishta ishto. And Shiva basically said, the Chiddush HaLev, that when a person realizes, I'm married to my wife. Now, my wife is not from mine, of course. But, Baruch, I have a wonderful wife. But that other woman has some midas that my wife doesn't have. So I want her too. Right? I want everything. But you only get one wife. Normal people, you have to realize that you only get one wife. That's normal in the world. And you get one wife, and by definition, no one's perfect. So if your wife is more homely, then she's less, she's less, whatever, like different, every maida is a chisaren, and every chisaren is a maida, right? A wife who's a lot of fun is not going to be homely. She's not going to be a homely wife. It's not as fun, and this is not as that. Whatever it is, I don't know. And this one, she's not as good as a cook, and this one's not as good. So you tell the guy, listen, you got one wife. Be normal. You want you. That's life. Don't you don't imagine more when you think you can have more than what's normal. That's when you're unhappy, and that's when you end up doing crazy things. You have to be satisfied with the norm. That's what he taught. It's a very similar thing to what we're saying. He said when people are satisfied with the norm, they don't do crazy things. I understand. And you're right. I don't have everything, but I can't expect everything. But the problem, he said, that for why some people, it's an interesting say whether this is what he claimed, that a lot of the perverts? People that have problems is because they're not satisfied. They want everything in life, even things that are not available. They want to obtain things that you just can't have. And then they just try and take it. Sometimes they try and take it by force. Sometimes they try, you know, steal it, you know, whatever it is. It's because you have something that I want, so I got to steal it from you, right? It's also the same thing. Why do you break into someone else? I'll steal what he has. Because I want it. Well, why do you? Because it's coming to me, because I want everything. So a person has to realize you can't have everything. Right? Okay, anyway, that's basically the point. The main point is that happiness, we should hear that even Haman is not happy, and even Adam Arishan, so to speak, is not happy. You don't get happiness by having everything. You get happiness by being what's called mistapik bechalko. And mistapik bechalko is a midah that you got to work on. And okay, there are different ways of working on mistapik bechalko. Right, mistapik bechalko, that's what we're talking about. Okay.